This month's year is being sponsored by Rabbi Mr. Zachariah Center in memory of Rav Moshe Aaron Palevza. So I want to speak tonight about one particular aspect of mitzvah tzitzis, and that is the zman. When precise does mitzvah tzitzis apply and when does it not? So the Gemara begins in the first Mishnah Makomos, the Sugya Maseches Menachos Daf Mem Gimel, that Rabbi Shimon Poter Ben Hashem, Rabbi Shimon says that women are exempt from wearing tzitzis. My time with Rabbi Shimon, how come Rabbi Shimon says that women are exempt from tzitzis? The sign is based on the following braisa. For Isim also, Pratlik Sus Laila, since the Torah speaks about seeing the tzitzis, so this comes to exclude Sus Laila. This comes to tell us that at night, or a beg of the night time, we'll see precisely how to define that as a shayla on the Rishonim, but clearly something to do with Re'iyah, that the din is that Laila, generally speaking, is excluded from the midst of tzitzis. Atomia Pratlik Sus Laila, you interpret this pasuk of Isim also to exclude Sus Laila, or any other Pratlik Sus Suma, maybe it comes to exclude a person, and a person is blind, so maybe he's Pata from tzitzis. So says the Gemara, Kshu Omesh at the Chasab, since there's another pasuk in Parshas Kisetzei which speaks about tzitzis in an all-encompassing term, anyone who's wearing a bag it has to put on tzitzis. So that seems to include even a ksusuma. So hamani mekayim a risim osel. So what does a risim osel come to exclude? Pratlik sus laila. So in effect, you have a contradiction in psukim that the psukim in Parshas Shlach so single out a risim osel, whereas the psukim in Parshas Kisetzei don't mention any exemption of a risim osel. So says the Gemara, we assume that the pasuk that's coming to include, that's including a ksus of a suma, a person who's blind. There's a reasonable soul is coming to exclude Ixus Laila. So that's the Gemara. How do you know which way to darshan? Maybe it's the exact opposite. Maybe the Rabbis Ixus Suma holds Ixus Laila. How do you know that's true? Maybe Ma'amin Ixus Suma sheyesh to Bri'ei to Lacherim umotze Ixus Laila sheinu Bri'ei to Lacherim. So that's the Gemara. No, that Ixus Suma is more logical to include because after all, assume, although he personally can't see the tzitzis, but other people around can see the tzitzis, so that's considered to be a shtickle reason of Selmash. And can a tzitzis lila at night, since presumably nobody can see the tzitzis, therefore it's totally completely exempt from tzitzis. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and since Rabbi Shimon says that tzitzis lila is part from tzitzis, therefore the halacha is that it's a zman grama. If it's a zman grama, then of course women are going to be pturos. The Gemara points out that this is only Rabbi Shimon's opinion, that the other Tanaim disagreed with Rabbi Shimon. The other Tanaim said two disagreements, that they held that lila is chayim in tzitzis, and the male of the other Lila is chayav and tzitzis, so then women are chayavas and tzitzis because it's not as mangrela. So the Gemara in fact tells a story that there are certain Amoraim who used to insist that their wives and their daughters would wear tzitzis. And where they held it as a chayav their eyes for the women to wear tzitzis. And the Gemara concludes that we don't pasken this way. We pasken that women are tourists from tzitzis. And the reason being because we pasken the Rabbi Shimon. Even though Rabbi Shimon appears in the Tanoim to be somewhat of a das yochid, the maskana the Amoraim say that's the way in fact is the accepted halacha. And that's of course the way we pasken without any question. Dexus Lila is Potter, and therefore women are Pteros as well. It's interesting when the Gemara has a whole discussion about the phrase Arisim Oso, that Arisim Oso is the source that Lila is Lausman Tzitzis, the Gemara never says anything about Arisim Oso, meaning that you have to actually see a Tzitzis. That's already a big chiddush. That's something that later, Achvarim had this idea that there's an Indian that he's supposed to see a Tzitzis. They quote, it appears a little bit in Rishonim, one of the Rishonim, the Smach, counts Arisim Oso as a separate mitzvah. It counts Tzitzis as two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to wear Tzitzis, there's a mitzvah to see the Tzitzis. So most of the Rishonim did not count that way. The Rambam doesn't count the Risim as a separate mitzvah. And you get the impression from the other Rishonim that there is no mitzvah to see a tzitzis. The mitzvah is to wear the tzitzis. A Risim also doesn't literally mean to see. A Risim also comes to exempt the Ksus Laila. This is Machlegis, a Gedolia Toskim Anayam Azed. The Mishnah Berurah was the strong believer. There's an need of wearing one's tzitzis out to fulfill the Pasuk of Risim also. And Rav Moshe writes in a Tshuva that he doesn't see that in the Gemara, doesn't see that in Chazal, that that's what a Risim also means. There are different opinions. There's a somewhat of a humorous conclusion of a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef. Rav Avadya writes that he thinks that for Sfardim, under no circumstances should they be wearing the tzitzis out, because the Sfardi place can always hold that there's no Indian, and for Kerap Pikabaldi, you shouldn't wear them out. And Rav Avadya writes, Achenu Ashkenazim, those Ashkenazim who want B'shas Al-Chag Gomel to be makel to wear the tzitzis out. That's what he writes. If you want to be makel, so ein mochem b'yadim, you can't stop them, so then it's okay. But in terms of, if you want to know what the real halacha is, says the Ravadji, then chalila v'chalila, you're not really a smadji, it's not allowed to wear tzitzis out. So that psach hasn't been so makubal in many circles, Ashkenazi and smadji. Maybe in a different minhag, which really revolve around ultimately whether risim also means anything more than the way Chazal take it to mean. So this statement that we pass in the halacha, that a risim also exempts laila, so comes to Shulchan Aruch in the second of the Marmakob, in the Simin Yerches, and when points out there's a fundamental machlekes of Rishonim about this, rather than showing in the Rabbam and showing in the Rush where each sheet appears, so they try to condense it a little bit. The Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions. Laila lazman tzitzis. See the imit mir risim also. Laharambam. What does that mean that Laila is lazman tzitzis? According to the Rambam, Kol Mashalovish Belayla Potter Filu Biyuchad Layom. According to the Rambam, it's purely a function of time. If it's night, if it's dark outside, then the Potter from Tzitzis. Even if the beggar that you're wearing is a Yom Dikah beggar, even though it's a beggar that you would normally wear during the daytime, it doesn't matter. According to the Rambam, night is Potter from Tzitzis. But says the Rambam, Mashalovish Belayom Chayy Filu Biyuchad Layla. But if a person has a four-cornered pair of pajamas and he happens to be wearing them in the daytime, so according to the Rambam, it would be chayv and tzitzis. So according to the Rambam, the phrase ksus laila is not really critical. The real phrase is laila, zman, bayom, yes, and balaila not. Ula harosh, but according to the opinion of the Rosh, the exact opposite is true. Ksus hameyuchad lalaila potter, afilu lov shabayom. The person has a beggar that's designated for nighttime wear, so even though he happens to be wearing it in the middle of the daytime, it would be potter from tzitzis. And the opposite would also be true. Namely, ksus hameyuchad layom v'layel chay afilu lov shabalayel. Because if you have a beged that is normally worn by day, even though it's sometimes worn by night also, even though right now you're wearing it by night, that is chayiv in tzitzis. So according to the Rosh, the phrase ksus yom and ksus layel should be taken absolutely literally, that it all depends on the type of beged that it is, whereas according to the Rambam, there's nothing to do with the type of beged, but rather it has to do with the exact timing. So obviously there could be very big nafkaminas ladina. What's the halacha? Let's say a regular dalat kanfas. So our regular dalat kanfas, abagadim shayom, most of the time we wear them in the daytime. So right now, am I performing a mitzvah tzitzis or not? So according to the Rambam, absolutely not. According to the Rambam, I can take the tzitzis off. I lose absolutely nothing by taking the tzitzis off, because there's no mitzvah whatsoever. According to the Rambam, it's not tzitzis. It's not a mitzvah balayla. It's nothing. When according to the Rosh, I'm a kind of mitzvah deraisa, because according to the Rosh, it's a beged, I'm a yuchel liyom. So the fact that I'm also wearing it into the night, that doesn't detract from the mitzvah tzitzis. And the flip machlokes would be also, if you have four-cornered pajamas, according to the Rosh, would be potter even in the middle of the daytime. And according to the Rambam, one would be chayav min haTorah during the daytime. How do we pass get mahalach in this machlokes? Yeah, the Rambam. Yeah, Shabbos. According to the Rambam, how is it possible to wear tzitzit on Friday night? Isn't that called carrying? Right, so the post can assume that even according to the Rambam, that's okay. The Rambam himself probably says that it's okay also, because even though right now you're not really being yelled to the mitzvah, tzitzit are not puzzle. There's nothing wrong with the tzitzit right now, so they're still considered to be like bottle to the beggar. They're still considered to be like a taksha to the beggar. And if the tzitzit are puzzle, then you can't really consider them to be mitzvah to the beggar. So how do we pass in? So comes the Rambam and says, Hagav a suffic brachas lahakel, that we're not sure who's right. We're not going to be machriya whether the Rambam or the Rosh is right. So therefore, we're not going to make a bracha unless it's chayv and tzitzis lachol adeya. So what does that mean practically? Now, Cain, ein levarich alav elok shalovish bayom, v'miyuchah gam ken liyom. Therefore, we will insist, we will only make a bracha on tzitzis if it's the daytime, and it's a beggar which is miyuchah for the daytime. Then the Rambam goes to talk about a little bit of a detail about that. We'll have to see, we'll have to come back to that in a moment. So, I call upon him, we're not sure what the din is. We're not sure whether the Rambam's version of Ksus Yom or Ksus Lail is correct, or the Rosh's version is correct. But there is an interesting ha'ara that we started out, the first of the Ma'amar Kamos, we said that it was because Tzitzis is exempt at night, or Ksus Yom, Ksus Lail, or Ba'al Lail, whatever the case may be, that's the reason why Noshim Apturos from Tzitzis. So, Tosfos in the third of the Ma'amar Kamos is a little bit bothered with that. And Bishlam, according to the Rambam, who says that it's the Zman of Laila is Potter, so then since it's a classic Zman Grama, so you have a mitzvah that only applies certain times during the person's lifetime. It only applies in the daylight hours, never applies at night according to the Rambam. There's no mitzvah of tzitzis ever at night according to the Rambam, so that's a classic Zman Grama. But according to the Rosh, why is tzitzis called a Zman Grama? So that's what Tosfos is tackling with this problem of Amar Rabbeinu Tam, because Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh agree to one another. So the Rosh and the Rabbeinu Tam are bothered with the Kasha. So why does that qualify as a Zman Grama? It's not true. That's not a classic Zman Grama. Classic Zman Grama means, like, Lulav is a Zman Grama. You only do the mitzvah of Lulav one time, one day during the year. Sukkot is a Zman Grama. You do Sukkot 1 week during the year. But, or Tefillin is a Zman Grama because you wear Tefillin 6 out of 7 days a week. But why is Tzitzis Zman Grama? According to the Rambam, according to the Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam, you can fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis at night, provided that you have ksus yom. So says the Tosa, Kach, you have to say a tremendous chiddush, mikamokha mikri shaper zman grama, shahayom goreim l'chayev hamalbush. Since yom does play a role, yom is what creates the definition of what's called the ksus yom, since the beged is defined in terms of the time when the beged is normally worn, that also qualifies as zman grama. Let me see why the Rambam felt that wasn't true. The Rambam's Pshat is much clearer, the Rambam's Pshat is much simpler, why it's a classic Zman Grama, but even Rabbeinu Tam and the Rosh have to say something along these lines, or else it would be against the Gemara. So at the end of the day, both the Rambam and the Rosh agree that there is a drasha for Risa Mosel Prat La Laila, And both of them agree, therefore, women are pturas from tzitzis. The whole machlokes is the Rambam and the Rashi is, how exactly do you define it? Do you define it in terms of zman laila, or do you define it in terms of ksus laila? Going back to that Ramah that we stopped in the middle of, the Ramah tells us that since our minhag is that we try to follow the chumas of both, so we will only permit a bracha if it's by yom and a beggar amyuchad liyom. So comes the Ramah, makes the following statement: v'achat tefilas arvis af afisha dayin yomu ein levar chalav. The Ramah says you can have a situation where it's not really night out, but you've already davened ma'ariv. So this already opens up a whole question we spoke about a little bit in the Sunday shiur this week. That in terms of Vilchus Avelus, this is true in terms of Vilchus Nida, that what exactly is the status in Halacha if a person davens Ma'ariv, or the Tzibur davens Ma'ariv. So we know that under certain circumstances, maybe it's permissible, and it was in fact a practice to daven Ma'ariv slightly early, even before it actually gets dark. So if a person davens Ma'ariv, let's say for argument's sake, it's going to get dark at 7 o'clock, and a person's ready davening Ma'ariv at 6 o'clock, is that considered to be Laila or not? Now, in terms of Shabbos, obviously it's not considered to be Laila, namely, let's say if Motzei Shabbos, you daven Ma'ariv early, so you can't do Malacha, that's obvious. But in some areas of Halacha, maybe it's already considered to be Laila. So the Ramah says, concerning Tzitzis, he thinks that would be the case. He thinks that after a person already davened Ma'ariv, even though it's technically light outside, he doesn't think that it would be correct to make a bracha on the Tzitzis. Because after all, we're choshesh for the Ramam Shita that you shouldn't make a bracha on Tzitzis b'Laila, even though it's a Ksus Yom. So even though it's not astronomically Laila outside, but Api Halacha it's considered to be Laila. What would be the ramifications of this? So the post can always tell us that davening Ma'ariv or Kabbalah Shabbos, those are usually considered to be like equivalents in Halacha. So let's say as follows, let's say on Friday afternoon, a person is Makabal Shabbos, and then he wants to put on a pair of tzitzis, and wants to put on a talis gadol. So based on this Ramah, one really should not make the bracha. After you're Makabal Kedushas Hayom, or after you daven Ma'ariv already, so even though it's technically speaking, it's the light outside, the correct thing to do is not to make a bracha. So when does this come up? So this comes up on Yom Kippur, that the Ramah tells us, continuation of the Ramah, Uvalel Yom Kippur Misat Od Yom V'Yavar Chalav, that on Yom Kippur night, when the Minhag Yisrael is to wear a talis for Kol Nidrei, so the Ramah says you should be careful to put on your talis before it gets dark, maybe Od Yom. So, adding to what we said, not only do you have to be careful to put on your talis before it gets dark, but you have to put on your talis before your Makabel Kedushas Yom Kippurim. You know, many people have the Minhag of saying the Tefillah Zakah. So in the middle of the Tefillah Zakah is the Kabbalah's Kedushas Hayom. So the question is, should you have your talis on for Tefillah Zakah, or should you have your talis off for Tefillah Zakah? So if you put this whole Ramah together with this opinion of the Rambam, so the answer is obvious, that you have to put your talis on beforehand, because if you put your talis on afterwards, you can't make a bracha on it anymore, because once you're the Kabbalah Kedushas Hayom, even though it's still technically speaking the sun is shining, that will be too late in terms of making the bracha. This has been an issue for me the last couple of years, because those who know in some places they have the custom, in the Yakisha community, they have a minhag that on the Yom Noroim, so the Rav makes the bracha l'satik v'tzitzis l'fnei am v'eda. He makes it out loud, everything. Because in the morning it's not a problem. The problem is when it comes to Kol Nidrei, so the minhag is also that the Rav makes the bracha l'satik v'tzitzis, then he puts on his talis. So the problem is that they usually schedule the bracha of the tzitzis a minute before Kol Nidrei. So usually I like to say Tefillah Zakah way before Kol Nidrei. So now I'm in a little bit of a bind. Because if I want to put my talis on for the Tefillah Zakah, because I don't want to have to make the bracha after the Tefillah Zakah, that's a problem. On the other hand, if I make the bracha 20 minutes before Kol Nidrei, nobody's there, so it misses the whole effect. So what do you do? So it took me a long time until I figured out. After a few years, I figured out what to do. It's very frustrating. I said the whole Tefillah Zakah beforehand, and I just leave out that one line, which says, I'm reading the Kabbalah conditions Yom Kippur. So I said the whole Tefillah Zakah without my talis on. So then everybody comes into shul, getting ready. I make my big ceremony. I make the bracha l'satik v'tzitzah. So this is then the next line that I say is, I'm reading the Kabbalah conditions Yom Kippur. That's in theory what happens. Now the Metzias, what happens is usually until I get the kids out of the bathtub and get everyone out the door. So it's usually I miss the whole Tefillah Zakah anyway. But in theory, that's the potential plan. That's what's supposed to happen on Erev Yom Kippur. When I first came to Paramus, so they were starting Kol Nidrei about too close to Shkia for my comfort. 2-3 minutes before Shkia, they were scheduled Kol Nidrei. So I didn't like that. Not that I didn't like it, because such an unbelievable chumrah to say Kol Nidrei before Shkia. Such a minig v'alma. which is the hard meaning even to understand. Why have to be so machzor to take under the refor shtiyah? But whatever, that wasn't so terrible. The problem was that I didn't think that was enough time for Tosefes Yom Kippurim. 2-3 minutes is cutting a little bit close on the mitzvah deraisa of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, since I knew in the back of my mind that I wouldn't be able to mekabel Yom Kippur until right before Kol Nidre. So I announced my first year that was starting Kol Nidre 10 minutes before shtiyah. Then the next year I moved it out to 12 minutes, then to 15 minutes. Every year I moved back a couple of minutes in order to get a bigger kiyum in terms of Tosefes Yom Kippurim. So that's all because of the Titus problem. It's all because of this Ramah, because the Ramah stopped me. If it wouldn't be for this Ramah, I wouldn't have had any problems. I would have been Kabbalah Yom Kippur an hour and a half early, do whatever I want. And then I get to Kol Nidre whenever you want. So in order to make everybody happy, in order to make this Ramah happy, so you have to play around sometimes a little bit with Tfilah Zakah, a little bit with Kol Nidre. But anyway, I call upon him, the Ramah does say that one should be careful, particularly on Yom Kippur night, one should be careful to put on the towels before Shkia. So comes the Mishnah Berurah in Sukkot and Zayin, Sifal Sukkot and Zayin. Comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, Abalim Ichel es Atef ad Laila. Let's say a person goofed, and a person didn't get around to putting on his tzitzis until after dark. Shuv lo yivarech, the Shem Alach ke Rambam. So you can't make the bracha because maybe the Rambam is right. So comes the Mishnah Berurah with the following tremendous chiddush. Ma'ashrim in divya magen Avram, as if cut and dalid, the afilu ben ashmash aus mutal avarech ates kichav in the magen. He's claiming the magen Avram seems to say this, the pashas of the magen Avram is that even though it's after shkia, you could still make a bracha on your tzitzis, even according to the opinion of the Rambam, which is really hard to understand. We always know that we grew up in the Litvish mindset, shkia, shkia, the sun sets, so it sets. It doesn't come back again, doesn't dray around for a few, set, sunset, silver. So after the sun sets, it's already suffix Laila. So how can you make a bracha? According to the Rambam, it's mamash a bracha levatalos. How can the Magen Avram let you make a bracha after shkia? So says the Mishnah Berurah, the reason is as follows. V'tamo, that lo betzitzis lo ksiv yom. It doesn't say in the Chumash, you wear tzitzis by yom. Rak or isim also, mash, makoz manch and nuchal liros. So says the Magen Avram, says the Mishnah Berurah, v'das the Magen Avram, since the Torah formulates the halacha of Laila and Yom, not in terms of Laila and Yom, but rather the Torah uses the phrase Re'iyah versus non-Re'iyah, so it's a tremendous chiddush that you can have a time on the clock where Api halacha is not necessarily Yom. So you have to shkia. You have to shkia is already suffix Laila. The tachas, you can see. Look outside, 5 minutes, you have to shkia. Can you see? You can see. Okay, I think there's a rule in driving from driver's ed many moons ago. So I think for the first half hour after sunset, I think Api din, they can't pull you over without having your lights on. No, is that the rule? I think I have a half hour or so after shkia, so they hold like the grah. The first half hour, so technically speaking, even though it's not yom, it's still the sun is set, but alpha b'chein, it still is non-re'iyah. You're still able to see. So that's exactly what the Magen Avraham is saying, that the first couple of minutes after shkia, since so kosof you could see, how can you tell me that you're not your tzitzis? That's called the resim also. So you see from this Magen, pardon me, you see from this Magen Avraham, a tremendous chiddush. You see that the definition of yom and laila in terms of a tzitzis is not really a function of halachic Yom V'Layla. It doesn't really depend on what we're used to defining Yom V'Layla in terms of Olas HaShachar, Shkia, Tzeis, and everything. It depends on the Metzias HaDvarim. The Metzias is, Tachlis, can you see? If you can see outside, even though it's a few minutes into quote-unquote halachic Safek Laila, that doesn't matter, and you can still make a brach. So that would be very helpful. And Yom Kippur, to the few latecomers who come into shul, and they miss Kol Nidre, they come in a few minutes after Shkia and they want to put the talus on, so according to the Magen Avraham, they can still make a bracha. Then the Mishnah Berurah quotes that other Acharonim aren't so convinced that that is correct. This is a tremendous chiddush of the Magen Avraham. The Chassam Sofer has on his notes on the side of Shulchan Aruch that if this Magen Avraham is true, that the definition of tzitzis doesn't really depend so much in terms of Yom Balayla, but it depends on Re'iyah versus non-Re'iyah. So says the Chassam Sofer, what would the din be if a person is in a room which is lit up, he has the candles, he has the lights on? So says the Chassam Sofer, so it's Laila. So what? It's Laila. But you can see it sits perfectly well. So says the Chassam Sofer, he's not so convinced that there wouldn't be a chiv of tzitzis at that time. Wow, that would turn everything around. So we grew up used to this idea. At night, you don't really have to wear tzitzis at night. Laila allows one tzitzis. According to this Magen Avraham, according to this Chassam Sofer's permutation of the Magen Avraham, maybe it's not true. Maybe that this man has, you have electric lights, so maybe the mitzvah tzitzis applies equally by Yom V'Layla. That's already a chiddush al gabi chiddush. But I call upon him, the Magen Avraham did make the statement that the halachic definition of Yom V'Layla doesn't really carry over in terms of tzitzis. What really matters is Re'iyah versus non-Re'iyah. If this is correct, then we really have to go back to the first of the Maamar Kamos, where the Gemara Maseches Menachos tells us that since tzitzis doesn't apply at night, therefore it's considered to be a zman grum, and therefore women are exempt from tzitzis. According to the Magen Avraham, what the Gemara is in effect telling us is that Zman Grama can be defined not only in terms of halachic zmanim, not only in terms of yom versus laila, and not only in terms of Shabbos versus chol, but even if the reason for the particular distinction in zman is a metzias, or something which is just a function of nature, that it's an issue of is there light out, is there no light out, that's not a halachic category in time, that also constitutes a zman grama. That's a very big question. Shagas Ari disagrees with that. Shagas Ari writes in Maseches Megillah, in Sefer Terei Avin, that he thinks that the principle of zman grama only applies where it's a halachic category of zman. Like lulav applies on the first day of Sukkot. The first day of Sukkot, that's a halachic category. What tefillin applies on the Sheshes Yemei HaMasa doesn't apply in Shabbos, because Shabbos and Chol, those are halachic categories. But says the Shagas Ari, if you would have a type of a mitzvah that's limited by a specific time, but the reason why that time limits the mitzvah is because of some mitzios advarim that may sometimes change, so says the Shagas Ari, he doesn't think that qualifies as a zman grama. So you see that the Magen Avraham disagrees, because the Magen Avraham interprets the mitzvah of tzitzis as being mitzios oriented, and afa b'chein, that's called a zman grama. That's what the Magen Avraham writes, also a chiddush in Hilchos Kiddush Levana. The Magen Avraham says that women are pturos in Kiddush Levana. Why is that? Because it's a zman grama. Why is it zman grama? Because you can only be mekadesh the levana the first half of the month. The reason why you can only be mekadesh the levana the first half of the month is not a halachic category called the first 15 days in a month. That's the metzias. Kadosh Baruch Hu made the moon in such a way that the cycle of the moon is 29.5 days or so. So when the levana is bechidusha, when the levana is in the first half of its cycle, then you can be then it's called kiddush levana. Then it's called mechadesh chadashim. After that point, it's no longer called mechadesh chadashim. And that's not a halachic principle. That's a metzias principle. If a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have created the moon, that the cycle of the moon is 50 days, so then kiddush levana would have been 25 days. So the Magen Avraham is l'shitaso in Hilchos Kiddush Levana from Hilchos Tzitzis, that the Magen Avraham held that Zman Grama is all-encompassing. If there's any mitzvah on the clock or on the calendar, there's any limitations, whether the limitation is halachic in nature, whether the limitation is agricultural in nature, whether the limitation is visual in nature, whether the limitation is cosmic in nature, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what rules are limiting a particular mitzvah. If so, of course, the mitzvah cannot be performed at every single time of the day and year and throughout your lifetime, that is labeled in Aloha as Zman Grama. That's somewhat questionable. In terms of the nafkamina of tzitzis, the Magen Avraham has this tremendous kula that ben hashmashos one would still be permitted to put on tzitzis would actually make a bracha, and other acharonim aren't so convinced that this is in fact the case. There is another issue that the Rishonim discussed concerning Laila and tzitzis. The Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim and Simin Yud Ches, the Shulchan Aruch holds as follows: Sedinim, afa pi she'adam yashav behem baboker, eim atil behem tzitzis. The Mechaber says that if a person has a sheet or a blanket that he's covering himself over at night, even though he sleeps with these blankets into the daytime also, so you're not mechuv to put tzitzis on blankets. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and jumps and says, wait a second, why not? Why aren't you mechuv to put tzitzis on blankets? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat and Ches, b'pnei she'ikra tashmishan balayla, uksus layla mikri. So says the Mishnah Berurah, because most people sleep in the nighttime. Most hours that a person sleeps in the nighttime. Whenever this halach comes up in yeshiva, so I always point out that most normal people sleep in the nighttime. When you're in yeshiva, so everything goes. Most people may get more hours of sleep in the daytime than the nighttime, especially final time. But I call upon him, it's normally a blanket is considered to be a ksus layla, and therefore ksus layla is potter. But says the Mishnah Berurah, wait a second, ksus layla is potter. Ach lefi zeh lohoya potter rak laharosh. Then it would only be potter according to the rush, even though I'm sleeping a little bit into the daytime, so I take a nap, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I take a nap in my blanket. So according to the rush, I'm potter. Why? Because since a blanket is a ksus layla, it's miyuchet for layla, so the male is potter even by yon. Aval haRambam deksus laila chayav bayom chayav, but according to the Rambam who says that a ksus laila bayom is chayav in tzitzis. So true, if I go to sleep at 11 o'clock at night and I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, then according to the Rambam I'm potter from tzitzis. But if I take a nap, I'm chayav, and if I sleep into the daytime, if I get up, let's say at 8 o'clock in the morning, so from whenever it was, also shacham mishiyachal, we'll see a little bit later when exactly the mitzvah tzitzis in the morning begins. So there was a whole period of time when I'm wearing a bag of dalit kanfas without tzitzis, and that's a problem. Even though it's a ksus laila, according to the Rambam, ksus laila doesn't play a role. It's only laila mamish that's potter. So according to the Rambam, you're going to tell me that you're really chayiv and tzitzis on a blanket. So comes the Mishnah Berurah and says, well, there's another fact. If yesh omim el tam niftar, mishum delochiva torah derech malbush or derech itov, lo derech ha'alabi alma. There are some Rishonim who say that So the Torah always speaks about wearing a beged, about kanfas kisus chashat chasavah, taba b'nei son of Islam, tzitzis al kanfas vigdeyam adaros. And the Torah always uses the phrase beged. So maybe beged has a specific connotation of wearing it around you. Mashenkin, you have a blanket on top of you. That's called ha'allah. That's called having it on you. That's not considered to be derech levisha. So there are some Rishonim, there's a Mordechai that Mishnah Berurah is alluding to that says that only derech levisha is chayiv and derech ha'allah is potter. But, says the Mishnah, Yesh Cholkim, there are others who disagree, even if you're sleeping on top of a sheet, maybe chayiv and tzitzis, then kavachom or a blanket. The reason why some Rishonim say that is because by shatnez that's the halacha. That if you have a blanket of shatnez, that's a problem. Because by shatnez it says, beged kalayim shatnez lo yala alecha. Even if you're not really wearing it, even if it's just on top of you, that's also considered to be a problem. So the machlekes in the Rishonim was, does that carry over to tzitzis? There are certain similarities between tzitzis and shatnez and certain differences. So some Rishonim said this is a difference, and other Rishonim said this is a similarity. So hilchos shatnez, we know you're not allowed to have wool and linen blanket. That's in a Nesir D'oraisa. And hilchos tzitzis, whether a blanket, a four-cornered blanket, is chayiv and tzitzis, was subject to a machlekes. So at the end of the day, there are really two different issues involved in determining whether blankets are chayiv and tzitzis. One is a ksus yom, ksus laila, yom versus laila. So according to the Rosh, blankets are potter lagamre, because since they're basically ksus laila, no matter when you wear them, they're going to be potter. Whereas according to the Rambam, they will only be potter if you're wearing it at night. If you're sleeping into the daytime, either a nap or into the morning, there will be chayiv and tzitzis. That's one issue. And then the second issue is that maybe blankets are potter lagamre, because maybe they're not considered to be levish, they're not considered to be a beged. So that's what the Mordechai says, but there's a Tosfos in Menachos that many poskim claim disagree. That Tosa seems to say that just as there's a din of by shatnez, that you're not allowed to have a shatnez blanket, who are not, you know, if you have a four cornered blanket, you would be chayav to put tzitzis on it. So what's the halacha? Bottom line, what's the din? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Ken Ichriya Magen Avram, Tiyase Keren Achas Agula V'yetalib Dukoyam. In theory, if you want to put tzitzis on, that would be great. But if you feel a little bit foolish having tzitzis schlepping around in your blanket, so the Magen Avram recommends you should round off one of the corners of your blanket. Now you have to always be careful when you round off corners, because the Gemara says, let's say you have a four cornered beged and you cut a diagonal, so now you have a five cornered beged. So a five cornered beged is chayav and tzitzis also. Four or more is chayav. So just to cut a straight line and make one corner into two corners, that doesn't work. So you have to curve. Now, curve, what do you mean? In order to be chayav and tzitzis, it has to be a perfect right angle. It's kind of like geometry, like a mamish, perfect 90-degree angle. What if it's off by a little bit? Well, that's also chayav and tzitzis. So when you make a round, when you round off a corner, you want to exempt the beged by rounding off a corner, it has to be clearly visible that it's mamish round. Like, you know, the kapotas. Some people do round off the back of their kapotas. So you have to really do a good job to make it into a real curve in order for it to be potter and tzitzis. So the Magen Avraham says that you're really supposed to do that. Achein Mashon Vidvar, the Mishnah Berurah says that maybe it could be made as follows. The Ein L'Hachma B'Zerach B'Sadin Shal Tzemer, only on a woolen blanket, of a Lobo Shal Pishtar Hashan Minim. That maybe one can be makel in other materials, because this goes back to what we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, that there are some Rishonim who say that the only chi of the Raisa Tzitzis is only wool. But since cotton, other materials, may only be made the Rabbanan, so for the Rabbanan, maybe you could rely on all these opinions that say that it's a ksus laila, and it's not derech levish, it's derech halah, etc. When it comes to wool, so the Mishnah Berurah seems to conclude, like the Magen Avraham, that one should not have a wool blanket unless it's either curved off, or if one actually puts tzitzis on it. So the Aruch HaShulchan writes that that's not what the minhag is. I don't know what he thinks the minhag is. He thinks that the Olam is Mekah, that the Olam assumes Mekah, and then like the Mordechai, that it's not really a beged, that in Hilchos Shatnez it's a beged, but in terms of Hilchos Tzitzis, it's not really a beged. So playing it to Lagamri Potter. So I think that's pretty much what the minhag Olam is. Remember there was several years, it was back more than several years ago, one of the Bachman Yeshiva approached Rav Dovid Lifshitz about the Shah. He asked him what was his opinion about the blanket. So the way the Bachman presented the Shah was, he said to Rav Dovid, something like, you know, most people don't have rounded off corners on the blankets. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you really should, you're my high. So apparently the way the Bachman related the story back to us, that Rav Dovid looked at him with a look of astonishment that Rav Dovid couldn't believe that most people don't have rounded off corners. It means he was sure that everybody was rounding off the corners on the blankets. He said, they don't know there's a din of tzitzis. Everybody's supposed to have rounded off corners. The Mishnah was covered Rav Dovid, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes that they weren't rounded off corners in the viaduct. So I think in Tinek, my guess, I thought I want to take a show of hands, and my guess is probably most people here don't have rounded off corners. I'll tell you a secret. I don't have rounded off corners on my... No, but if it's rounded off, then it's potter. So Now, I wouldn't rush to make a bracha. I would rush to make a bracha. I mean, according to the Mordechai, it's pater. According to the Rosh, it's pater. But the Magen Avraham saying b'teres sofek, not b'teres vada. Yeah. According to those who show them, say avada. Yeah, if you really hold that way. I don't know. You gotta get under the covers. I don't know. But no one in 2004 would ever make a bracha on it. The question is, should you be doing it all together? So according to the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah, woolen blankets, you should. So all the years when I was single, I wasn't so concerned with this, because what was the cooler of the Mishnah Berurah? The Mishnah Berurah's cooler was that if it's not wool, so it's not really a chiyuv d'oraisa, according to everybody, therefore it's potter. So if you don't own a baguette, if you're just borrowing a baguette, so up to 30 days, you're not chayv and tzitzis at all. After 30 days, then you become chayv and tzitzis on the midrabbanan, because min haTorah, the Torah says, karpas ksuschet has to belong to you. So because I was a bachar, I was borrowing my parents' baguette. I didn't own the blankets. They were lending me their blankets. They were letting me sleep in their house. So I was like a shoel. So a shoel was only chayv midrabbanan. So the same way the Mishnah Berurah was willing to be making on midrabbanan, they don't have to round off the corner, so it didn't bother me. Then I got married, and I owned my own blankets. So I had all these wonderful woolen blankets that we had, so I was going to start chopping around. So I started relying on the Erech HaShulchan. Our minhag is to rely on the Erech HaShulchan. Shout out to Kuch Revish. So anyway, it's generally, Kuch Revish, your wife's going to kill you if you start cutting the blankets apart. So it's generally the practice is to follow the Kula, even though the Mishnah Berurah really wasn't too excited about this. There is one last issue in terms of Laila, Tzitzis at night. That's the second to last of the Ma'amar Kamas. The Emes I Mevarach on Tzitzis B'Shachar. When is the earliest time that you can make a bracha on your Tzitzis? When can we really say B'Teres Vaday that the Yom is begins? So says the Shulchan Aruch, Mishayakam in Chel Shabbat Olav and Shabbat. This is Ma'amar Mishayakir, which is the Gemara. It really doesn't have by Tzitzis. The Gemara has this by Tefillin, perhaps by Kriyashma. The Gemara never really spells it out by Tzitzis. Some Rishonim say that's where it comes from. That's where the Shia of Tchelis Olav comes from, Dafka from Tzitzis. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should not make a bracha on your tzitzis before Mishayakir. Says the Ramavim, Lav Shem Elos HaShachar Ve'elach, let's say a person puts it on from Elos HaShachar. So Yeshom the Mevarach Lav Echein Nogim. The Ramav writes that the minig is to be makel even from Elos HaShachar. Yom Lav Shem Kodem Lachein Kodem B'Slichos Lo Yevarach Lav Echshiyar Hayom Yimashish Rov Yevarach. Says the Ramav, if you're saying Slichos before Elos HaShachar, so then you should not make a bracha, and when this man comes, then you should touch your tzitzis and make a bracha at that point. So Machlek is the Mechaber and the Ramah. What is the earliest man for making a bracha on tzitzis? According to the Mechaber, it's Mishayakir, and according to the Ramah, Mikra, then it's even a little bit earlier. The Mishnah Berurah then quotes that many of the poskim started with the Shulchan Aruch on this, so therefore the Mishnah Berurah says that really you should try to avoid this. That you should try not to follow this Ramah. You should try to wait until Mishayakir. That's what that minig is. That's what we mentioned in the Tefillin Shirim. But we try to avoid making a bracha until Mishayakir on Tefillin. We try to avoid making a bracha on Talis until Mishayakir as well. But the truth is that neither of those two things is like absolutely written in stone. When it came to Tefillin, so recall we spoke about Rabbeinu Peretz, and Rabbeinu Peretz says that the only reason why we don't wear Tefillin at night is because we're afraid you're going to sleep in it. So Rabbeinu Peretz says if you're ready up for the day, so that gezeira doesn't apply. So Rabbeinu Peretz tells that Mikra din you can really make a bracha on your Tefillin mamshim all the night if you're up for the morning already. So then you're allowed to make a bracha. So the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't do that. Shulchan Aruch says you could rely on Rabbeinu Peretz to put the tefillin on, but you shouldn't make the bracha. That's already like a pshar of the Shulchan Aruch. But according to Rabbeinu Peretz, if you really hold like Rabbeinu Peretz, then you could really make a bracha on your tefillin from Elos HaShachar, from before Elos HaShachar. And according to this Ramah, Mikra Din Vele Dizman Tzitzis Tas from Elos HaShachar. So even though we try to avoid relying on this Ramah, you know, Mikra Din, maybe it really is acceptable. So that's why people go so nervous about Mishayakir. I'm also not advocating putting on talis and tefillin before Mishayakir. But I'm saying, you know, sometimes there are different sheetahs exactly what Mishayakir is. Sometimes you can't exactly figure out what Mishayakir is. So you know, every once in a while, there's somebody who comes into shul and puts his talis and tefillin before Mishayakir. So everybody goes over and starts screaming at him. Don't you know it's Mishayakir? Halacha Moshe Messina. So I'm the last guy to scream. I usually don't scream about anything. But this for sure I don't scream about. According to Rabbeinu Peretz, it's mutl l'chatchila to make a bracha before him. According to Ramot, it's mutl to make a bracha the talis before him. It also goes after Elos HaShachar. So this Mishayakir, although that's common practice today, it's not chikvul yavor. That if a person, for whatever reason, made the bracha beforehand, so the poskim say he doesn't make the bracha over again. And tzitzis, if you made a bracha even in the middle of the night, you don't make the bracha over again, because according to the Rosh, we yotzei, because it was a ksus yom.
According to Rabbeinu Peretz,
was
he required to wear tefillin at some point during daylight?
No, Meikra then probably not. That's Ramesh, that was Ramesh's chiddush. Ramesh wrote in 1974 when they went on daylight savings time around this time of year in February. So when Neitz HaChem was 8:30, and Mishayakir was 7:30, and people were already out to go to business at 6:45, they were already on the train. So Rav Moshe said, that's okay. So Rav Moshe says, you wore your tefillin, even though it was mamash laila, and Rav Moshe says you're allowed to make a bracha, because the only time the Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't make a bracha, that's if you're able to make the bracha later. But if you're not able to make it later, then you can learn Rabbeinu Peretz Begamri, because we paskim in a Torah, laila's man tefillin, so therefore you're wearing tefillin today. So if I would put on, min ha-Torah, if I would put on tefillin now, so then I don't really have to put on tefillin tomorrow morning, because I put on Thursday's tefillin on Wednesday night. So we usually, under normal circumstances, of course, we don't do that, but on certain very big Shas HaChak, so maybe that would be acceptable.